If you could use one word to describe Coach Tuma or Mr. Tuma, what would it be?
Probably mentor.
It would be the word genuine, because I feel like he's just a really genuine person and very loyal, and he's just been a very good guy to everyone around him in his community.
I would probably say straightforward, because he's a very simple person and he tells you what you need to get done and creates a very simple platform for you to do it.
Informational.
And why is that?
Man, know everything, like, for real.
I definitely say legendary, just because I know, like, you ask people who went to Country Day like 40 years ago, and they know who Coach Tuma is. It could be Coach Tuma, Mr. Tuma, but he's just someone that everyone knows. He's a big part of the Country Day community.
Welcome everyone to the Talk with Tuma. I'm your host, Grant Larson. I'm here today with Mr. Brad Tuma, or Coach Tuma to some students here at Shelt Country Day School. Coach Tuma has been teaching here for 36 years and has coached football and lacrosse during that period as well. His success for developing a profound lacrosse program can be measured with his 9 state championships, 18 conference titles, and coaching over 150 all-state players. All of these accomplishments earned Coach Tuma a place in the U.S. Lacrosse Hall of Fame for the North Carolina chapter. In the classroom, Coach Tuma also received the Alumni Distinguished Faculty Award in 2010. Coach, thank you for joining us today. I have some questions for you. The first one, just to start it off, is how'd you first get to Country Day teaching, coaching, and kind of your first years as a teacher?
So I got here via my coach and academic advisor at Detroit Country Day. So the school I went to is very similar to this. And he ended up here the year before I came, and then I was up in New Jersey, and there was an opportunity. He called me. I was getting ready to part ways with the school in New Jersey, and he called and said, hey, we have an opportunity down here. And so I just came down and been here ever since. And it was exciting, too, because I got to coach with him my first year. So he helped. He was my assistant. So he was down here as a director of development. So he helped me on the first team, which was fun.
So after you got to Country Day and got some, I guess, experience there in the first 10 years, how would you say that has been different than, like, the last 10 years? Because you've been here for 36 years. So how would the first 10 differentiate from the last 10?
Well, I'd say probably the two biggest differences, you know, you could say that students are students and, you know, that they sort of run the gamut in terms of, you know, accomplishments and what they're willing and able to do. But I'd say the two biggest differences would, of course, be technology. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I first came here, you know, there wasn't even, I think there may have been my second year a copying machine, right? Of course, computers didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Cell phones didn't exist. You know, you had a pay phone that you went put a dime in to call your mom to bring your lunch. So I'd say certainly the technology has made a huge, huge difference. Just think of, you know, and the second one would be, of course, facilities. So, you know, this was a very nice school in the 80s, but compared to what you all are blessed with now, it's hard to get your brain around it in terms of what the facility piece looks like.
How many buildings made up, like, the original campus?
So when I first came here, what is now the Dowd Cafeteria was the library. Mm-hmm. And all of the classroom teachers actually were, their offices were in there.
Okay, so it was every single teacher.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild outfit, and we each sort of had a corner of the library.
For, like, the different departments?
Yeah, for okay. Different departments. And then slowly over time, as the school started to grow, they saw that they needed to, you know, add some specific space for each department, so slowly the departments moved to different areas. They built what's now the Cannon, sort of backside of the Cannon building was built and housed, like, the physics and biology. Mm-hmm. Then Levine was built, and that housed the foreign language.
Yeah.
Today, of course, you've got the awesome Purdy building, which is for the math and science. And, of course, we then eventually, the history and English departments moved over to the Hants. So we've, you know, as mm-hmm. they've continued to sort of build.
Was Hants when you started just fine arts?
Yeah, I think the first couple of years, Hans was just the fine arts, and then as I said, we needed actually physically more classroom space. So all of the outside, if you can envision what the cafeteria looks like today, when it was all glass classrooms. So there were like six classrooms in there because we just needed additional
space. Yeah, I remember freshman year and sophomore year, the library was being built, and they had just finished the now cafeteria. And that was quite the change because I remember eighth grade, we were walking around, you know, during the eighth grade tours, and we were in the science buildings, and, like, everything had flipped then, so it was, like, kind of weird that it was, like, it was different than what it had been when you toured. Mm-hmm. So, so we've talked about the campus changes and changes with technology, but have you seen, like, a change in the way, like, athletics are viewed by students and administrators?
Yeah, I'd say yes, for sure. and as we've sort of watched what the evolving, certainly, college sports scene. Mm-hmm. And back when I first started, back in the 80s, we had a requirement. So everybody had a two-sport requirement. And most of that was, you know, the belief that it was important to, you know, get the physical activity and be a part of a team. But also because we had to share players. Okay. Because we just didn't, it wasn't a big school.
No.
So back then, you know, a class was under 100. You know, and I think someone told me that the incoming freshman class is like 150.
Wow.
Right. So yeah, back in there, you know, you shared athletes. Everybody did too. You know, today, and you've seen it, Grant, that there, you know, we've seen this huge push in the last, I'd say, 10 years towards specialization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of students that basically say, "I'm not going to play multi sports. I'm just going to pick one," and they seem to be doing it at younger and younger. Great.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially for lacrosse, like my position, I feel like every year there's more and more kids that say, "Oh, I specialize in this position."
Right.
As you like get older, it's right. Wild.
Right. So I think that's made a big difference. And I think, you know, we see when you look at this campus, you know, they got unbelievable physical, right? So, you know, the addition of two gymnasiums and the addition of the new the two pools and the addition of a new weight room and, of course, the synthetic surface. And so, again, great facilities.
And the whole recruiting kind of.
Right. The, you know, that how much, because of social media also, I think, is another thing that the whole college recruiting piece, which has changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And has gotten so competitive. If you think about you're going to Denison and the fact that Denison, you know, actively recruits and basically knows what their roster is going to look like next year. To some extent, that wasn't that when I went to Denison, that wasn't the case. It was an open tryout. Yeah, people made the team. I mean, I came out of Detroit. I didn't think necessarily I was going to make the team. There were, you know, 60 kids that tried out, and then eventually they just whittled it down like, you know, almost 3 dozen kids.
Wow.
So that whole thing, yeah, that thing has definitely changed a significant amount, I would say.
So while we're talking about sports now, the motto for Country Day, for as long as I've played, and I guess long before I was a part of the program, is faith, family, academics, and lacrosse. So when did that kind of become, like, the motto for the program here, and, like, what did it derive from?
I think it actually, we coined it back probably 20 years ago, roughly about 20 years ago, but I think philosophically it's always sort of been there, you know, mm-hmm. as you've heard me say. You know, your number one, you know, your family is your most important. You know, your family, your moms and dads and siblings and grandma and grandpa. And, I mean, that's the key, mm-hmm. right? And then, of course, we have our lacrosse family. You know, sports and extracurriculars are fine, except your number one responsibility is your academics. We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And certainly, you know, individual faith, whatever that might be, plays a significant role. You know, it always has in my life, and I know it has in other folks' lives here. And then the last thing, although it's not, you know, there's nothing ashamed about putting it last, but lacrosse, right, is sort of one more part of that. Athletic fields, we hope, is going to be a testing ground for the future. And, you know, we feel very blessed and excited about the folks that we have helped, you know, along the way and that have gone on to be successful, you know, beyond being a successful college athlete, but have gone on to be successful in their own personal lives and with their families and certainly their careers and Again, as you know, and you've embraced it as, you know, our commitment and our history of the kids in the military service. All the kids that have gone through and played at West Point, played at the Naval Academy, have gone on to successful careers in the Marine Corps and the Navy SEALs and all that. And that's a big part of what we hope to do and as the training ground on Dowd Field for sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the lacrosse field and or whatever sport field is a good playing field for testing, you know, where you're from and I guess the grit that you have compared to other people. So, I mean, you just mentioned a lot of these players and students that came from Country Day, like Kip at the with the Marines or Army?
Army. 82nd Airborne.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then Taylor, who graduated last year, and then all of the ones before them. I mean, I've always, when you mention these guys, and I'm sure some guys on the team now take inspiration from some of these people. So who would you say you take inspiration from after working in education and being a coach for 35 plus years?
Well, certainly, I mean, I would say I take my inspiration from, you know, working with, you know, great families mm-hmm. like yours, and for, you know, those of you that want to come to work every day on that practice field. And someone says, you know, as I always said, you know, we don't know the finished product. The finished product is going to be, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the road, mm-hmm. 30 years down the road. So, you know, having a relationship with these families and with, you know, great young men like you and your teammates and classmates, and then over the years to continue those relationships and keep up with those, you know, one individual that we've talked about, George Hodgen, mm-hmm. who was a Morehead Cain scholar and then was a distinguished Navy SEAL, and now is working in legalization of cannabis to help for trauma. He certainly is a person that I, you know, draw great inspiration from, and stayed in touch with him over the years. He's out in California right now.
So, with your experience, what would you want to see more out of Country Day? After talking about all the sports and the academics, not anything completely changed, but like, what would you just want to see more of?
I think the, you know, it's a great, great opportunity, this education that we've talked about. You know, we're certainly blessed to be a part of this community, and just, you know, partially having everyone embrace that, sort of acknowledge that, you know, as, mm-hmm. as you've heard me say, and the boys have heard me say, you know, oftentimes you don't realize what you had, certainly not always in the moment, and it may not come till 10 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to those alums and talk to the guys that are, you know, 10 years removed, 5 years removed, 20 years removed, and they'll say, you know, I'd give anything to go back on that field and everything that I learned. As a matter of fact, I just talked to William Anderson today, who won, was our goalie and won 3 state championships, and then Ian Firth, our current goalie, you know, your teammate, who just broke his save record, all-time record. So I texted William and let him know, and he said, congratulations to Ian, and, you know, do I have any eligibility left? I'd love to get back out there on Dowd Field, you know. So I think as you grow older, and he's now married and going to start a family, you know, you get a greater appreciation for what you actually had right in the moment. You know, the other thing, and again, we've had this with the last couple of years with the COVID, is, you know, oftentimes it's the, you know, you, it's something that you give up that you're never going to get back. I mean, high school athletics is something completely different than what you're going to go through at Denison.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Denison experience will be a great experience as well, but it's just a completely different thing. So when student athletes, scholar athletes stop playing something, you're saying, you know, you want to do it because you want to do it, and you hopefully your energy and efforts are there, but that's something you're never going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's sort of fun the last 2 years you've been on the team that we've actually had players that have come back, right? Some that hadn't played, and then of course your teammate Parrish, who came back out after 4 years, and we're excited to have him out there, and I think he's going to look back and say, "Man, I'm glad I did that, at least for that senior year."
100%.
Right.
So we've talked about change a lot. So not long ago, or how long ago was it that you added the economics class here?
So the senior elective that you took, we've taught for 35 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's all the way back to day one.
Okay.
The ninth grade class is just in, that's one, same thing as the semester, but that's just for the last 2 years.
So how would you see it benefiting students? It's still a semester class.
Right, correct.
So what was the, I guess, thought process behind making it more of a broader, like, available to towards more students.
Right. Well, originally we started it, well, it's still true today. At the end of the day, it's obviously one of the most applicable classes you're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, you're trying to teach it right off the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Right? And we don't have to look any further than, you know, this tremendous physical plant that we're in to see many of the pillars of the economic community here in Charlotte, right, that we have been blessed with their support of Country Day. So, again, with the, you know, there's been a curriculum, right, and the social studies sort of ebbs and flows. And so at one point everybody says, you should be teaching European history. And then it's like, well, that's too Euro-centered. Let's go to world history.
Mm-hmm.
And now at some point we were like, as you look at the trends and said, you know, really, there's not enough kids that are getting government and economics.
Yes.
And that's been a big push. In Charlotte Mech, they've been teaching that for a long time. We originally started back 35 years ago, we were teaching economics and geography. And the reason we did that was because South Carolina and Georgia made it a requirement.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, we even had kids that came over from Myers Park to take the geography and the econ courses because they said our school, at that point, they weren't teaching it. And they said, I want to go to Georgia or I want to go to South Carolina. And so we said, well, you can come over here and take it. So, I think that, you know, it was just a void. You can't teach everything, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, it's the reading and the writing, the critical thinking that you want to hone in on. But still, you know, a curriculum like a government and economics, which is taught in its current status, it seems to be very, very applicable, you know, versus another history that may not be as current.
Yes. Before this interview, I talked to some other students. I asked them one word they would use to describe you, and the biggest one was genuine. So how would you use one word to describe yourself?
That's a great question. Loyal, you know, certainly, you know, loyal to my family and to the community here and you and your teammates. I hope that comes across.
Oh, yeah.
Every day the way that I handle myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I think that definitely came up as well. So lastly, through your experience as a coach and a teacher, what would you tell incoming students about the culture for the school and for its sports? And how would you tell them, or how would you advise them to take advantage of the many privileges that we have here?
Well, I think you just said it. I mean, the idea is you have to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Of all that you're afforded at a school like this. And again, as you've heard me say over the years, I mean, this is one of the, you know, top independent day schools in the United States, period, end of statement.
Mm-hmm.
And take advantage of all these opportunities, because this type of opportunity in this small, nurturing community just doesn't exist at the college level, even if you go to a small school like Denison. Mm-hmm. Right? It just doesn't. It's three times as big. So, you know, try different things. Don't be afraid. You know, get yourself out there. All those things that sound like they're just sort of trite and mundane, but they're so true, because the experience, it goes so quickly. Even though in the moment you're like, oh, this just drags on. 4 years comes and goes, and you just want to say, I took in as much as I could, and I got involved. And when, again, at Country Day, you can. You know, you can be involved in the arts. You can be involved in the clubs. You can mm-hmm. start your own club, and you can take all those awesome electives like this one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I would just say, you know, go out there and try all those things, right, and see what you really are passionate about, or something you decide you don't really like, because, you know, as you move on to the college, that whole situation is so much different.
Exactly. Well, Coach Tuma, thank you for being a part of this podcast. Everyone listening, thank you for tuning in to The Talk with Tuma. And this has been a production of the podcast and journalism class with Kick at Charlotte Country Day School.